Here's Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider. How you feeling, Bob?
Excellent, boys. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're jacked up, man. We're looking for we're loving this because everyone is back, you know, included in the conversation. It's not only two teams anymore, you know, and it feels like it's going to be a big offseason. What are you bracing for?
Yeah, I would certainly think so. I think there's a lot of teams that, you know, kind of go into this thing. And it might be the same every year, and then there's a bit of a letdown as you get closer to the draft and stuff doesn't happen and everybody gets trips over their lip. And so there was supposed to be so many things happen, nothing happened. But I think there's a lot of teams that are really aggressive in terms of their mindset. I think the Leafs are one of those teams. You know, I think Vancouver wants to make something happen. I think Edmonton wants to make something happen. Calgary, Winnipeg, a lot of the American teams, Philadelphia, Florida. You know, I'm sure there's no shortage of teams that have an eye towards doing something, but, you know, getting it done with the salary cap and everything else that goes with it. But there's so many aspects of it. I mean, the buyout season starts on Saturday, so things are going to start revving up on that front, or they could. No one says you have to have a buyout on the first day, but there's going to be a week period there where they've got the ability to buy players out. So might be some notable names if trades don't happen. And there's a second buyout period, so you don't have to do the buyout now. But, you know, whether it's Corey Perry or whether it's Dion Phaneuf or take your pick, there's a lot of those types of names that will be out there as strong candidates for buyouts. You've got trades that can obviously happen. You've got the RFA negotiations that are going to go on, not just in Toronto, but Winnipeg and Calgary and San Jose and Tampa and virtually everywhere, it seems, with really good players. And you got the UFA guys, and you got Carlson and others that are in that situation. So it's going to be fascinating. You know, Pittsburgh, are they going to trade Kessel? I know Dregs was talking the other day, maybe Letang's the guy that's going to go. So there seems to be a lot of balls in the air now, whether somebody catches them or whether they all get dropped between now and the draft, who the hell knows, but it's certainly going to be busy for us.
Well, Bob, talking at the beginning of the show, seeing St. Louis and what they did, just the sake of making some change, I mean, they totally revamped their center ice position. They signed Bozak. They brought in O'Reilly. They brought in Shen. And guess what? Massive part of their team. So for the teams that just seem to fall in love with their players that don't win, why not shake it up a little bit? We're just hoping that watching St. Louis win last night can just provide some transactions, some excitement this summer.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, they hit a home run on the Shen deal. They hit a home run on the O'Reilly deal. You know, they signed Bozak as a free agent. And you're absolutely right. It is, you know, highly, highly, highly unusual for a Stanley Cup champion team, especially in a salary cap era, to go out and virtually make over their entire center ice position, line one, line two, line three, with trades and free agency. You know, if you look at the history of, you know, whether it was the Kings winning, it was Kopitar, and if it was the Penguins, it was Malkin and Crosby, and the Blackhawks, it was, you know, Taves and the other guys they drafted. It was, most of these teams were bad for a long period of time, got really high picks, got franchise-type players, and that's why they won Stanley Cups. St. Louis was a real anomaly. But the flip side of that is, it's easy now that they've won to say that, but there wasn't anybody in mid-December saying, hey, man, you know, even though the Shen deal was a home run even at that point because Letera wasn't that good. And that was a money dump for Philadelphia. So there's sometimes reasons why things get done. But nobody was telling Doug Armstrong he's going to win Executive of the Year in mid-December when he's made all these trades. And, you know, the O'Reilly trade didn't look too, you know what, hot at that point. And people were thinking that, you know, Buffalo actually did pretty well with it. But now then the pick ends up being, instead of it being 15, it ends up being 31. There's a big difference there. But your point's well taken. I mean, if you're going to, you know, go out on your shield, like, be aggressive and trying to make some moves if you can make it happen. And Doug Armstrong made those deals happen, and he ultimately succeeded with them, but for the longest time it looked like he might die with them too.
With Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, the Leafs have not been shy when it comes to what their top priority is. They want to sign Mitch Marner, but do you get the impression like they're going to make roster player trades? In other words, Zaitsev, Marlowe, Brown, or others, before they even get to a point where they sign Mitch Marner?
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, they've got to have a handle on the universe for Marner, even if it's not the precise number. And I think you got to be a little bit careful because you just don't know where things are going to go with it. So you got to, you don't want to be offloading a bunch of guys. But you know, they want to trade Zaitsev. They want to trade Marlowe, but Marlowe's driving the bus on that. So that'll determine whether or not that happens. But I suspect he probably would look favorably if they can find a spot for him that him and his family want to go to. So there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity on Zaitsev. You know, but probably what will happen, you know, I saw Dregs tweeted today that after Vancouver had shown interest in Zaitsev, now Edmonton is showing some interest in Zaitsev. And you can kind of see where it's going, whether it's Kapanen or whether it's Connor Brown. You know, teams like Vancouver and Edmonton are probably going to be, certainly Edmonton anyways, if they're going to take a guy like Zaitsev in his contract, they're probably going to want to try to get a premium, and whether that's, as I say, Connor Brown or, and I'm not saying that those are the talks they've had because I don't know anything about it. I just got out of the Stanley Cup final, and I'm not up to speed on every little detail of what's going on, so I don't want to radio myself here and suggest that, you know, Connor Brown or Kick Happening are part of a Zaitsev trade to Edmonton. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, those are the types of deals that teams like Edmonton will be looking at if they're going to take a player like Zaitsev from the Leafs.
Bob, this is a copycat league, and we've been trying to talk about, you know, with the way that the Blues won the Stanley Cup last night, if there's other organizations out there looking to emulate a little bit of what St. Louis did, what would be the one takeaway of what you noticed in the finals and what St. Louis did to ultimately win the Cup?
Well, they were obviously a physical team, and they were big. You know, and that's why Mike Babcock commented on their defense in midseason. He talked about how long they are. He was basically saying that Parayko and Bouwmeester and Pietrangelo and Gunnarsson and Bortuzzo and all these guys are, you know, they're all well north of 6 feet tall, and they're big guys, and they can lean on you. And they also know how to check, and they know how to play without the puck. So there was a bit of an old school element to their game. But I just don't think you can play copycat because I don't know where you get Colton Parayko. Like, yeah. The Leafs are looking at it and saying, okay, that's the way St. Louis won, so that's the way we should do it. So, okay, so where do you find a 6'5" defenseman that can skate like the wind, can hammer a puck on the power play, can break the puck out, and is as good without the puck as he is with it? I mean, they're hard to find, and if they can find one, bring it on. You know, they're not opposed to that. But you got to be careful with the whole copycat thing because by the time you finish trying to copycat what happened, somebody else is already coming up with a new idea or a new, you know, some sort of leading edge thing that is going to be different. And someone different will win the Cup next year and it'll be all speed and skill or whatever. And people will say, oh, that's the way to go. And some of these teams will be caught chasing something that happened, you know, basically the team that was built 12 or 18 months ago.
Bobby, before we get you out of here, just quickly, it seems like you've been gone for a month covering one series. Is that too long? Is that like too much? It's just, they got to get this over quickly.
Well, it's the reason for the most part is television. I mean, we work for television networks and they want specific dates, and with Memorial Day weekend starting when it started, they prefer not to go on the Saturday, the Memorial Day weekend, and the Monday of Memorial Day weekend. So, you know, TV is a big part of it, especially in the States. But I hear you. I mean, you're right. I left for the Stanley Cup. Well, the media day was 2 weeks ago this past Sunday. So I went down on Saturday. So I left the house 2 weeks ago Saturday, or put it another way, it'll be 3 weeks this Saturday since I've been home. I'm not home now. I actually had to fly to Florida for some stuff to take care of, but I won't be home until Saturday night, and I go Sunday to Vegas, and away we go. But I just looked at it, and I got a 31-day stretch where I'll spend one night in my own bed, which is a little unusual for me being a studio guy and what have you, but it's just the nature of the beast. And but I agree, the Stanley Cup Finals dragged out too long. It was 17, 18 days, whatever it was, if you include media day. And for a seven-game final, that's just too long. But I don't know what you do about it, because it's for the most part, it's television and building availability, and I don't know if that's going to change anytime soon.
Well, safe travels, Bob, and we'll do it again soon. Hopefully you're back up here when we chat with you next.
Awesome. Thanks, boys.
It's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider.